الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأتباعه بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد, continuing our discussion about the da'wah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he began to call the people salawatullahi wa salamuhu wa barakatuhu alayhi, calling them out loud and calling them in public and calling them here and there. And we seen that it was revealed to him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wa anzir ashiratak al aqrabin, and warn your nearest of relatives. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he gathered his tribesmen from Banu Hashim, and he called them, invited them to Islam. And the one who stood up and was ready to aid the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was the youngest of them and the smallest of them, but he was the strongest of them, the strongest in faith and the strongest in iman. And his name is Ali ibn Abi Talib radiyallahu anhu. And likewise, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he even went to Safa, into the mountain, and he called all of the people to come. Come on. Ya Sabaha. I have some very important information to tell you. And whenever they all got there, and some of them that couldn't even come themselves, they sent a messenger to go for them to see about the news. And then whenever the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gathered them all together, he said, if I told you right now there is an enemy to come over here and to try to fight us all right now and raid us, would you believe me? He said, of course we'll believe you. We know who you are. You're the truthful and you never lie. So then he said to them sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, verily I'm a warner. I'm coming to you to warn you of a severe punishment if you do not obey Allah Azza wa Jal. And then somebody stood at this time and he was very disgusted. And he was very upset and mad. And he said some bad things. Who was that? Abu Lahab. What is the name of Abu Lahab? And who was he? Abu Lahab, his name is Abdul Uzza ibn Abdul Muttalib. Abdul Uzza ibn Abdul Muttalib. That means that he is the brother of Abdullah ibn Abdul Muttalib. He is the brother of the father of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So therefore, Abu Lahab, he is the uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from his father. They're relatives. They're very close in lineage. But Abu Lahab, he was not happy at all. And he said, you gathered us over here for this? This is what you called us over here for while we're taking care of our business? You want to talk about this? You're a warner and all this type of stuff like this? And he was belittling the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he was mad and upset about that. And then he said, Tabban laka sa'ir al-yawm. May you perish the rest of the day. And then at this time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he revealed the chapter known as Surat Al-Masad. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentioned in this book, and he said, Tabbat yada abi lahab wa tab. Perish the two hands of Abu Lahab, and may he perish. And he is going to lose and be a loser. The first one is dua. Tabbat yada abi lahab. May his hands be destroyed. May his hands perish. Meaning may he be a loser. He's going to be a loser in this life and the hereafter. And then the second, watab, meaning that's what's going to happen to him. He's going to perish and he's going to be a loser. Ma aghna anhu maluhu wa ma kasab. His wealth and his children will never help him or benefit him whatsoever. Why not? Because he didn't believe. Even his lineage and his nearness to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would not benefit him if he did not believe. And since he did not believe, he had no benefit and no aid. Not from his wealth and not from his children and not from his lineage. Therefore, what will help a person and aid a person and be a means of savior and success for a person in this life and the hereafter is? Al-Iman. Al-Iman and sincere faith. سَيَصْلَى نَارٌ ذَاتَ لَهَبٍ ذَاتَ لَهَبٍ. He will be burnt in a blazing fire, a fire of blazing flames. وَامْرَأَتُهُ حَمَّالَةَ الْحَطَبِ. And his wife also, she carries the wood. She carries the wood for that's going to be burned on him. Meaning that she's carrying the wood in the hellfire, and every time to make the fire even more worse, she's right there to put more wood on the fire of who? The fire that's on her husband. Her husband is in the blazing fire and she is making the fire hotter and hotter and hotter. That's the punishment for them in the hereafter. Because she was helping her husband in this life harm the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and she was spreading lies about him and talking bad about him, and he was even reciting poetry being mean to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and she was helping Abu Lahab also do all these bad things and carrying tales about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So in the hereafter, Abu Lahab is being punished and his wife is being punished, and she's helping him be punished because she was helping in this life to harm the Prophet Muhammad, so she's helping in the next life to get the punishment for that. And she herself is being punished too. فِي جِيدِهَا حَبْلٌ مِّن مَسَدٍ. And in her neck is a twisted rope of palm fiber, meaning of mesed. So after this was revealed, and the people were aware of this revelation and this recitation and this chapter, it reached this woman here, this woman who is the wife of Abu Lahab. And her name is Arwa. Her name is Arwa bint Harb ibn Umayyah. And she is the sister of Abi Sufyan. And her kunya is Jamil. But she was not Jamil. She was bad. She was very bad. This is her kunya. Her name is Jamil. And her kunya is Jamil. And her name is Arwa bint Harb ibn Umayyah. And she is the sister of Abu Sufyan ibn Harb ibn Umayyah. We know Abu Sufyan radiallahu anhu. In the beginning of al-Islam, he was a very, very great enemy to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But in the end of the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the Fath of Mecca, he accepted Islam. Radiallahu anhu. We want to see about him, inshallah. But now we want to discuss this issue here. The issue of the wife of Abi Lahab. The wife of Abi Lahab. It is narrated from Asma bint Abi Bakr radiallahu anhuma. Asma bint Abi Bakr. What's her sister's name? And what's their brother's name? Radiallahu anhum jami'an. Naam. She said, Asma bint Abi Bakr radiallahu anhuma, lamma nazalat tabbat yada Abi Lahab. Whenever this chapter was revealed, the chapter of Al-Masad, aqbalat awra Jamil bint Harb. Awra here, or Arwa, she came to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. She's coming. Wa fi yadiha fihr. And she had a fihr. She was very wealthy. A fihr, what is a fihr? It's a cat, type of cat. Fihrun. A tomcat. Some type of a cat. She had a cat in her hand and she's coming like this and she's very arrogant. And she's from the tribe of Umayyah, so she's very, very well known. And she is coming, and Abu Bakr and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam are sitting together. She's coming to them, and she's reciting some poetry. And she says, مُذَمَّمًا أَبَيْنَا وَدِينَهُ قَلَيْنَا وَأَمْرَهُ عَصَيْنَا. And this is what she's saying. She is calling the Prophet, his name is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, which means the one who's praised a lot. He's very praiseworthy. But they didn't used to call him Muhammad, they called him Muthammam. Alhamd is to praise, and them is to talk bad about. So she is not saying that he's Muhammad, but she's calling him Muthammam. Muthammam, the blameworthy one, the one who's bad. And she says, the blameworthy one and the bad one, we refuse to follow him, and we hate his deen. And she says, and we disobey his command. And this is what she's saying. And she's coming over there talking like this. She's saying this, Muthammaman abayna, wadinahu قَلَيْنَا وَأَمْرَهُ عَصَيْنَا. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's in the masjid, by the Masjid al-Haram, and he's sitting with Abu Bakr. Whenever Abu Bakr seen her coming, he said, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that woman is coming, Jamil is coming, you better hide. I think she's going to try to harm you or say some bad things to you, or she's going to cause trouble over here for sure. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, إِنَّهَا لَن تَرَانِي. إِنَّهَا لَن تَرَانِي. Oh, she's never going to see me. She's never even going to see me. Don't worry, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. وَقَرَأَ قُرْآنًا وَاعْتَصَمَ بِهِ. And he recited some Qur'an. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, don't worry, she's never going to see me. And then he started reciting some Qur'an. And the portion of the Qur'an that he recited sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the statement of Allah azza wa jal. وَإِذَا قَرَأْتَ الْقُرْآنَ جَعَلْنَا بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَ الَّذِينَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْآخِرَةِ حِجَابًا مَسْتُورًا. That whenever you read the Qur'an, we will place between you and between those who do not believe in the hereafter a covering veil and a sitr, hijaban mastura, a satiran. We will place a screen between you and them. Meaning they will not even be able to see. They will not even be able to see him. So she came and then she stopped at Abu Bakr and she didn't even see the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And she said, oh Abu Bakr, I have been informed that your companion is talking bad about me. I've been informed that your companion is talking bad about me, and he's reciting poetry and talking bad about me. Annuhu hajani. Haja yahju, it means to talk bad about somebody. But the Arabs, whenever they would talk bad about somebody, they wouldn't just talk bad. They would like this, they would talk bad about them in poetry. Kind of like what she was doing. Whenever she was doing that, she's making poetry and talking bad about the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And she said, she came over there, Abu Bakr, I heard that your companion, your friend, was making poetry and talking bad about me. What's up with that? Why is that true? So then the Abu Bakr, he says, no way, he doesn't make poetry about you. He's not making poetry about you. And then she said, he's not making poetry about you. No, he doesn't make poetry. He doesn't make poetry. And then she turned away and she was like, yeah, that's right. Those people, Quraysh, they know that I'm the daughter of the best of them. And that's right. They know who I am. They know who I am. Like this. She's like talking like she's like very, 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 very good. And this is from their arrogance. But we see that what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had decreed for her and her husband is that they will never believe. And they have died and they are in the punishment forever. Just as Allah had mentioned about them. Just as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned about them. So this is the affair of Abu Lahab. Naam, and his wife. And his wife Arwa. And his wife Arwa bint Harbin. Naam, and this was the affair of them. That they will make poetry about the Prophet and they will talk bad about the Prophet, and wherever they went they were harming him. And this was in these early years, especially after the fourth year, whenever he started going public with the da'wah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It started getting worse and worse at this time. And then even the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would go to the markets. He went to the mountain and called the people. Then he would go to the markets and call the people. And he would go in the markets and he would say, Ya Yuhannas, Qulu La ilaha illallah tufrihu. Oh people, just say La ilaha illallah, you'll be successful. He's going to the market. There are all the people in the market buying and trading and selling and getting money. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would come there and he would warn them from shirk. And he would warn them all from the bad ways of the mushrikeen and the ways of the Jews and the Christians, but particularly here, the ways of the mushrikeen. And this is who he's calling to. Warning, this is who he's calling to Islam, all the mushrikeen. And he's telling him, say La ilaha illallah. Just say La ilaha illallah. But everywhere he would go, you know who would follow behind him? Abu Lahab. Abu Lahab, who would follow right behind him. And everybody knows that that's his uncle. And everybody knows that that's his uncle. And anybody who didn't know that that's his uncle, they'll say, who is that man after that that's following behind him? Oh, that's his uncle. That's his uncle. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would say, you say La ilaha illallah. The worshipping idols is falsehood. And I'm a messenger of Allah. And I've been sent to warn you and to call you to the paradise and to the Jannah and to warn you of the fire. And Abu Lahab would come behind him and be like, don't listen to him. He's a liar. That's my nephew. I know him his whole life. He's lying. He's lying. Sabi'un kadhib. He's a Sabi. He left the deen of our people. He doesn't even follow us no more. Don't listen to him at all. He's a liar. He's crazy. Saying all these bad things about that. Every time the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would make da'wah, Abu Lahab, he would come right after him and try to talk bad about his da'wah. Like this. And when he would go to this place, this is what he would do. And the Prophet would call them. And he would tell them, just say, La ilaha illallah. I have come as a warner to call you to worship Allah alone and to leave off the worship of other than Allah. To worship Allah alone and to not associate partners with him at all. And then he would say, who's going to help me? Who's going to help me? Worship Allah alone and don't associate partners with him at all. And follow me. I'm the messenger of Allah. And then Abu Lahab, he's a liar. He's crazy. Don't listen to this man. That's my nephew. Like this. And even some people, they would be like, who is that? Who is that man right there following behind him? Oh, that's his uncle. And he said, oh yeah, yeah, his family knows best about him. We're not going to follow him. Like this was the tricks that they used to do to deceive the people. And then whenever the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would say, just worship Allah alone. Abu Lahab, don't listen to him. He just wants you to leave Lat and Uzza. He just wants you to leave Lat and Uzza. He wants you to leave the ways of your forefathers. Don't listen to him. He's trying to trick you and take you away from Lat and Uzza. And he would say like this. He's just coming with some bid'ah and dalala. Abu Lahab, he would say that. Abu Lahab, he would say, he's coming with bid'ah and dalala. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he came with what? Bid'ah, innovation and dalala, misguidance. That's what they're saying about him. And you see that this is there's a lesson here. And the people of true misguidance and the people of falsehood and the people who do not have any proofs and evidences that are clear, whenever they don't have anything else to do, there's no way that they can support their falsehood clearly, what do they start doing? They start talking bad. They start being rude. They start being mean. They start to defame that person that is upon the truth. And they try to make him look like he's a bad man. And they try to make him look like he's not good and that he's not nice. And that's the way of the people of falsehood. The people who have no proofs, whenever they want to support their innovation and they want to support their falsehood, they run out of ways. The people of desires, the people of whims, what do they start doing? They start trying to make the person of truth look bad. And they try to make him look like he's not good. And they try to defame him. Just like this. This is the way of the people of falsehood from the very beginning. Huh? And you know what happens if that doesn't work? You know what they start doing after that? They start hurting them. They start hurting the people of the truth. And this is the methodology of the people of falsehood. And also we see here, what did he say? No, this man Muhammad, this is my nephew. He came with bid'ah. He came with dalala. That's what they're saying about him. But who is upon bid'ah? Who is upon dalala? Abu Lahab and Quraysh. So also from the ways of the people of falsehood is that they blame the people of the stuff that they do. They say, he's upon misguidance. He's Hizbi. But that one that says that, he's really Hizbi. And that one who says that, he's really misguided. And that one, he said, you're misguided, but he's really misguided. Ramadni bida'iha wan sallat. They claim that this person has misguidance, but they're the one who's misguided. They claim that these people are lying, but they're the ones who's lying. Like this, this is the way of the people of falsehood, all the way until this day. May Allah protect us from falsehood and its people, and from innovators and its people, and from desires and its people, and from evil and its people. Naam? But this is the way of the people of truth. They will be harmed. They will be harmed. But this didn't harm the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You know what he used to say? They called him Mudhammam, like she did. Mudhammaman abayna. They said, Mudhammaman, we refuse to obey him. Wa dinuhu qalayna. We hate his deen. That's what they said. Wa amruhu asayna. We disobey his command. You know what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they used to say, the companions, they get mad. How are they going to call you Mudhammam? What are they going to say about this Mudhammam? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, don't you see how Allah azza wa jal, he turned their cursing away from me? He said, look, they're cursing Mudhammam. I'm Muhammad. So they're talking about somebody else. They're not even talking about me because my name is not Mudhammam. My name is Muhammad. So they're cursing Mudhammam. I don't know who that is, but Muhammad, I'm Muhammad. You see, this is how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam understood this. They're calling him this name Mudhammam, and they're talking about him, but he's like, I'm not Mudhammam, I'm Muhammad. So they're cursing somebody named Mudhammam. I don't know who that is. Anyways, let them do what they want to do. I'm Muhammad. They're not talking about me. I'm Muhammad. I'm not Mudhammam. We understand that? So whenever the people of falsehood, they talk bad about the people of the truth, and they call them these, they say Jamia, they say Wahhabiyya, they say, man, I don't know what you guys are talking about anyways. I'm Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. I'm Salafi. Like this. I'm not worried about what you guys, you don't even know what you're talking about. You're just misguided.
The people of truth, they have to be firm. The people of truth, they have to be firm. Okay, now after this, in this time, this is in the fourth year, around the fourth year, in the fifth year, and things started getting really, really, really bad. But you know what happened? Still, many people are accepting Islam, but they're not telling nobody because people are getting hurt. People are really getting hurt now. So a lot of the Sahaba who are accepting Islam now, they're like keeping their Islam quiet. They accept Islam, but they're not letting nobody know, not even their family members, because if they do, they'll be trapped in their house and they'll be harmed like the rest of them. And the harm is getting really, really bad now. They're harming them really, really bad. So they used to go up into the Shi'ab. They used to go into the trails in the valleys and in the mountains away from the people. And they used to gather there to worship and to learn and to study and the likes like this. And they used to hide from Quraysh, because if the Quraysh sees them like that, they're going to harm them together. And then plus they're going to know them and they're going to start harming them even more. So they're trying to avoid confrontation. They're trying to avoid meeting the bad people because they don't want to have to fight them, because there's just a few of them and the likes like this. But one time they were in the Shi'ab and they were in the trails and they were gathered together. And then some disbelievers came and they found them there. And they started talking bad about them. The disbelievers started calling them names and the likes like this, and they started fighting. And you know what happened? Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, pow! Radiallahu anhu, he popped one of those disbeliever guys and he started bleeding. And he started bleeding, and this was the first blood to be shed in the cause of Allah Azza wa Jal. And who was it? Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas. They were talking bad about the Muslims, and they were hiding in the Shi'ab, and they were talking, and they're learning and worshiping Allah by themselves, so away from the people. And some disbelievers, they found them, and they started talking bad about them, and they started trying to come to them. And Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, radiallahu anhu, pop, he popped one of them. Radiallahu anhu. And this was the people of knowledge, this is the first time some blood was spilled in the cause of Allah Azza wa Jalla like this in a battle. But it wasn't really a battle, it was just a little fight and scuffle. After this, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he had another companion. And his name was Al-Arqam. Al-Arqam ibn Abi Al-Arqam. We talked about him before. We mentioned him from the first of those to accept Islam. And he was from the tribe of Al-Makhzum. Bani Makhzum. And he was young, about 16. But Banu Makhzum, they used to have a lot of competition with Bani Hashim. So they used to have competition back and forth to see who's going to be the best. And then they also have wars. And sometimes they would fight each other. Banu Hashim and Banu Makhzum. But some, as we've seen before, people are accepting Islam from this tribe and that tribe and that tribe. So here is Arqam. He's about a young man, about 16. And he's from the tribe of Makhzum. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he started gathering in his house. Yeah, they started, he had a house, Arqam, he had a house, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he used to get his companions and the new Muslims, and he used to gather them together privately in the house of Al-Arqam ibn Abi Arqam. And this is because, yani, who would think that the Prophet is going to gather with his companions in the house of the enemy, the enemies of Banu Hashim, with a young boy, with a young man? People are probably going to think, if he's going to gather, he's going to be in the house of the old companions, and he's going to be with the elders and the strong ones, and he's going to be with Bani Hashim, and he's going to be with his tribesmen. But nope, he went to Bani Makhzum, who was really having competition with Bani Hashim, and then he was with Al-Arqam, who was just a young sheb, young man, he's about 16, and they would gather in the house of Al-Arqam, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to bring the new Muslims there, and he used to teach them about Islam. يُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ. He used to teach them the book, and he used to teach them the wisdom and the sunnah, and he used to purify them, and he used to call them to Allah, and he would clarify their affairs. So this was the da'wah in the very beginning. And then in the fifth year, after the fourth year, of course, it started getting bad. When the da'wah got out loud, it started getting bad. But the companions, what are they doing? Hiding their Islam. The ones who displayed their Islam, what happened to them? Like Bilal and Ali Yasir and the rest of them, those who pronounced their Islam outwardly, they got harmed and they would get tortured. So many of the Muslims, they start hiding their Islam. As for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he did not hide no more. What is he doing? He's calling the people left and right. And he's calling the people in the markets and in the streets and everywhere. And he's calling the different tribes. And he's warning them from the punishment of Allah Azza wa Jal. And he's calling them to Tawheed. And he's warning them from Shirk. And he's mentioning the promise of paradise. And also the punishment of the hellfire. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he's worshipping Allah out loud. And he's worshipping Allah yani in public like this. But nobody can bother the Prophet Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam physically. And they can't harm him because Abu Talib is his uncle and his guardian, and they respect him. But as for the rest of the companions, then they're not able to display their Islam because it's getting very, very hard. In the fifth year, the punishment and the torture became even worse. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he allowed for the Muslims to make hijrah. What is hijrah?
To migrate from a
non-Muslim land. To migrate and to move and to leave the land of disbelief and the land of shirk into the land of al-Islam. This is the hijrah. This is the meaning of hijrah, legislatively. But also, we see here, they're not leaving the land of Islam or the land of shirk and going to the land of Islam. They're leaving the land of shirk and they're going to a land where there's still shirk there. But it's easier and better for them to worship Allah Azza wa Jal there. So they're not making the legislative hijrah like this. They're making hijrah to Al-Habasha. And they're moving from the Mecca to Habasha, because in Habasha there is a just ruler, and he is known as An-Najashi, and he is the king of Habasha, and nobody is ever oppressed there. Even though he's a Christian, he did not used to oppress the people, and he did not used to harm the people. And the people who lived in his kingdom, they lived in peace, and they were not afraid of oppression and wrongdoing. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he allowed his companions to migrate to Al-Habasha, because over there at least they can worship Allah better. So likewise, we benefit from this. If we live in these lands today and we live in a society or in a community where the people of the Sunnah are weak or few or on the likes like this, then it's good and legislated for a believer to make hijrah and to migrate and he from that place to the lands of the Muslims. But even if one cannot do that, then he will at least migrate from that land or that city or that community to a community where the people of the Sunnah are stronger, and to a community where the Sunnah is being practiced and applied. Also, this is a good way. And we see here that the Prophet, he allowed them to migrate from the land where they're being harmed and they're not allowed to practice their deen properly to a land where they will not be harmed and they will be able to practice their deen properly, even though it's not a land of believers. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.